Seattle minister Mark Matthews loved God, and he loved Woodrow Wilson. The tall, lanky, Georgia-born preacher, who looked more like a stern plantation overseer than a warm cleric, relished the fact that Presbyterian and Democrat Woodrow Wilson was now in the White House. During the early decades of the 20th century, Matthews became one of the most powerful religious leaders in the United States. His Seattle congregation was the largest Presbyterian church in the world, with over 10,000 members at its peak. Early in his career, Matthews was an optimist. He believed in the power of the Christian gospel to establish a literal kingdom of God on earth. But by the mid-1910s, he determined that the world was careening towards the biblical end times. Matthews was witnessing European nations arming for war. Like many radical evangelicals of his generation, Matthews preached that the end was nigh. Jesus, he predicted, was coming back to fight Satan at the Battle of Armageddon, and soon. But this did not make Matthews indifferent to worldly affairs. He routinely wrote President Wilson, asking for advice, asking for favors, trying to get some support for his friends and his community. He even promised his parishioners that he would get congressional pork flowing back to the Pacific Northwest. The president occasionally sought Matthews' opinions in return. Despite Matthews' apocalyptic worldviews, he had the ear of the president and no reservations about speaking boldly to men in power. Matthews was not alone in preaching the end times. Christian apocalypticism has a long and varied history. The modern incarnation of Christian apocalypticism took shape about a century and a half ago. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, and Independents, they all shared a commitment to returning the Christian faith to what they saw as its fundamentals. They masterfully used the Bible's most cryptic passages to explain the past, to understand the present, and to predict the future. Matthew's efforts highlight the paradox that lies at the heart of fundamentalist work. They believed in two almost paradoxical principles. First, fundamentalists felt certain that the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus Christ was imminent. And second, they believed that Jesus had nevertheless called them to occupy this world until that imminent return. These convictions worked in concert to inspire in fundamentalists bold, relentless, unapologetic, and aggressive action unparalleled in modern Christendom. With time running out, fundamentalists and evangelicals intended to shake the world. They sought instant redemption, immediate transformation. Hence, Billy Sunday preached prohibition, Jerry Falwell extolled the virtues of limited government, and Billy Graham harangued against gay rights, while each simultaneously believed that the end was near. They were preparing the world for the final judgment, hoping to redeem as many people as possible before all was lost. Theirs was a politics of apocalypse. As evangelicals' power and influence has grown in the 21st century, they are investing more in this world than in preparing for the next. Yet a recent poll revealed that 41% of all Americans, well over 100 million people, and 58% of white evangelicals believe that Jesus is definitely or probably going to return by 2050. Even here in the Pacific Northwest, where church membership has been declining for decades, end times preaching attracts hundreds of thousands of adherents. The conviction that the end is near is all the incentive evangelicals need to continue to spread their faith, with all of its social and political ramifications, as aggressively and as widely as possible. Evangelicalism, perhaps better than competing faiths, provides millions of people navigating a chaotic and seemingly meaningless world with purpose, significance, and an eagerness for action. That was Mark Matthews' genius, and that is the genius of modern American evangelicalism.